The start of the next season, 1949-50, I think you were in the first team pretty well from the start, weren't
you? Yeah, right the way through, yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that's come into our possession in this project are notebooks that were kept by the club of each season. I mean, for many years it was Bill Bailey of the Citizen who kept them, but by this time Arthur Hudson had started to, because Bill Bailey had retired, started to keep a notebook of each season. And in there, there's a match on the 15th of September 1949, Gloucester against Stroud, which must have been of interest to you. You were playing, and Arthur Hudson's noted underneath this, Baker, 17-year-old schoolboy, showed distinct promise at centre. And I notice you dropped a goal as well in that match.
Well, that's interesting. Straight. What date was that?
15th of September 1949.
All right. Okay, well, the Stroud match had a, not that particular year, but some years later, Anne and I got engaged on a Saturday, and we were playing Stroud that afternoon. We got engaged, I'm sure she won't mind me saying so, in the car park of the cathedral in a Land Rover. You couldn't kneel very well because the gear lever was a bit of a nuisance, but anyway, I proposed and then played in the afternoon, scored a couple of tries, and I was there with her engagement ring in the stand, and they were saying, pity you don't get engaged every Saturday, you might play a bit better then. Well, that was a year or two later.
Yeah.
Stroud was always a difficult match for me because I lived in Stroud.
Yeah.
And going back to school days, when I first got picked for the United and ultimately Gloucester against the RAF, that particular match, my sportsmaster was on the selection committee of Stroud, and on the day that I knew I'd been selected for the first 15, he offered me a place in the Stroud 15 if I switched to Stroud, and I was between the devil and the deep blue sea because I knew I'd been picked for the next Saturday, but it hadn't been announced until the Citizen came out on the Tuesday or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a connection with Stroud. So I always had a rough time when I played at Stroud because I was a local and I didn't have gone to Gloucester.
And your career took a very different course to J.V. Smith, of course, who at the same time was resisting all attempts to recruit him at Gloucester and insisting on carrying on for Stroud.
Yes, that's right, that's right. Well, he was a bright boy. He went to Cambridge and his parents ran a grain business in Eberley, which is next to King's Cross. So I knew his father well and the family. Yeah.
I was going to say that 2 months after that September match that Mark had been talking about against Stroud, you played against Blackheath at the Rectory Field.
Yes.
And scored all the points in that game, I think, in a Gloucester victory. 8-3.
Yeah, I can remember
quite
that match.
For a 17-year-old.
It seems strange, but I can remember that match. And I was playing.
I
on
imagine
the,
you could. Yeah.
I was playing on the wing that day, and I think it was a penalty goal, a try, and a conversion.
That's right.
But I was heading for the corner flag, and obviously going to be wiped out. And I checked and came inside, so I was on the left-hand side. My mind can picture it now. And I got a bollocking afterwards because they said you should have gone all out for the corner, not checked to come inside. There we are.
Well,
no answer is there to that.
The press called it the copybook try.
Oh,
so,
right. Well, there we are. There we
your critics liked it.
Yeah, isn't that strange that you should pick that match? I mean, there are lots of matches I'd be hard-pressed to remember. But
well, it was pretty unusual, as John says, for a 17-year-old to score all the points away at Blackheath.
Yeah, I mean, that it sounds egotistical, but because I was kicking and a centre, I very much playing for the United, I could very often score 20-odd points and have the bulk of them, you know. It was that was the way it went if you were kicking.
Yeah.
Although you didn't get that many chances, not like now. I mean, you might have, you know, 6, 7, 8 pots at goal. In those days, it was very few. And unfortunately, I was sort of a bit like Bill Hook. one of the last to kick with the toe, and you didn't get the distance that they do with the instep. Willie Jones started the instep kicking, but I was still kicking with the toe, which meant that on a big match day when they pulled out a brand new ball on a wet day, which would be like a piece of soap, if you didn't get it right, kicking it right on the end, it squirted off. You could miss one underneath the post very easily. And Gloucester crowd always let you know, when that happened.
Yeah. A very different ball to kick then to today.
Yes, I mean, yes. Yes, they're quite heavy. I mean,
Heavy to start with, and on a wet day.
I remember watching years after I'd finished, it was still a heavy ball then. Eric Stevens pulling out his groin, kicking one from the touchline. I reminded him last time I saw him, oh, yes, he said. Because the crowd, of course, laugh at an event like that. They think it's funny that the kicker should injure himself kicking. But, if you got it wrong, you did.
You've made me feel it. That's exactly what I did.
Really?
Place kicking at school was tore the groin muscle.
Yeah.
I could hardly walk for a month. Do you remember your first try for Gloucester, Mike?
I wish I could say I did. It isn't that I scored that many.
Let's test with John. Do we agree on when it was? I think it was on the 22nd of October 1949 against the Old Blues.
I know, I can't.
It's the first one I could find.
I honestly can't remember that, Malcolm. I mean, the odd thing is, because you were so enthusiastic about rugby at the time, you could remember many, many passages in a match. Not just the odd one, we could connect them. Whereas now, if I watch a rugby match, I saw the international on Saturday and I was thrilled with some of the play that took place and I would remember it. But as a player, you could remember an awful lot about the match. After a few years, you don't remember as many.
I noticed in the records that after that match at Blackheath we were just talking about in December 49, the following week you were playing away at Cardiff and Bill Hook was carried off injured, I think quite early in the game, and didn't play again till the following March. I presume that gave you quite a lot of additional opportunity for place kicking, didn't it?
Yeah, Bill and I used to practice under the one spotlight that was at Gloucester, sort of the Worcester Street end, behind the goalpost. There was a very wide dead ball area, and we used to practice under the one spotlight that came down on training nights, and we just practiced together, and gradually I guess I took over. I wasn't always successful. There are other people. Trevor Halls had a period of kicking for Gloucester, and I got the heave-ho if I didn't perform well, which was always, I thought, a bad thing, that if you have a kicker for a match, you keep him going for the match. You've got a Gloucester kicker now who had a dreadful start, didn't he, down at Exeter.
Yeah.
But he's kicking quite well now and winning matches for you. If you kicked him out at that stage, he might not be performing now.
Yeah.
But that's just a personal view.
Yeah.
But if you've got two chaps who are almost the same, the captain might say, well, you missed two, give it to the other one. But I think to keep a chap going is better.
And the other match I was going to pull out just after that was the 1st of April 1950, which was Gloucester 6, Cheltenham 5. You scored the try and the penalty, and I gather won the game right at the end of the match. Do you recall that one?
I remember the report more than the actual match.
We should explain that Mike has actually produced a newspaper cutting here from the Pinkern, which is actually a cartoon, I think, from that match, which I quote, "The youthful Michael Baker gained full marks and made highest possible 6 points out of six. And there is a caricature of you with your school cap on."
Yeah. There's another character there who was playing outside half for Cheltenham, and he kicked to touch time and time and time again. So they, I think in the caricature, they show him kicking his way all the way back to Cheltenham.
That's right. Mr. Edney.
Yeah, Edney, that's right. He was outside half for Cheltenham.
And the end of the season, I think you went on the end of season tour down to the West Country.
Yeah.
What can you recall of that, Mike?
Well,
must have been quite an adventure for
it,
your age.
It was an adventure. I suppose one of the pleasant things that happened was that on that tour, when we were on the coach, I can't remember who gave it to me, but somebody gave me a player's badge, which meant that I'd played 25 games for the first team. So when that occurred, at what point in the season, I don't know, but at least I knew I'd played 25 games that season for the first team, which was a thrill. Yeah. And to have a badge like the other guys, not all of them had them, but most of them had them. The tours were quite interesting, to say the least. Don't want to really run anyone down, but Dennis Ibbotson, who was probably one of the best tackling wing forwards you could wish to meet. He was brilliant. I mean, he was a guy that pinned ankles together. You know, he was an outside house nightmare. Well, down at Plymouth on tour there, the manager had got two rugby clubs in the hotel at the same time. He got Newport and Gloucester, and of course we ran riot. At least the older ones did. I was the only youngster, and poor old Archie Hudson was in a terrible state because we were being thrown out by the management. So anyway, we managed to stay. But about Dennis Ibbotson, Plymouth Sound has a bar about 2 or 3 miles out, and we were out in motorboats playing about, and we saw charging at each other. And anyway, the result was that Dennis went overboard and he got absolutely soaked, and the boat that he was in pulled him ashore and popped home, and they got there quicker than we did. So he eventually got back to the hotel, and Dennis was already in his room by that time, and we yelled out, you know, "Are you all right, Dennis?" "Yeah." "Have you got any change of clothes?" "No," he said. "Oh," he said, "well, we'll dry off your underclothes, you see, on a radiator." And he said, "That won't be good." He said, "I'll get a cold. There won't be air." And this is a guy who's as tough as iron on the pitch, and he's worried that his underclothes are not aired. There we are, that's Dennis. He ran his own little business, repairing melt churns. Yeah, he used to, the creamery down there, I don't know who it was, just behind the shower hall. He used to repair these things, and that was his business. Yeah. But he was a nice chap. I think he was another Central School boy.